listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we take a look at some of the upper Midwest's endangered species and what they say about our part of the world and even ourselves. First, we're catching up on some of the week's news from the state capitol. A proposal in the state Senate aims to ensure that the state budget gets passed on time, and two of Governor Walker's major proposals, a child tax credit and an economic development plan for the state's rural areas, are losing steam in the legislature. J.R. Ross is the editor of WisPolitics.com. I talked to him earlier today. J.R., thanks for joining us.
Anytime.
Well, State Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald has a proposal that he says would prevent one house of the legislature from holding up passage of the state budget. First, before we talk about how it would do that, give us some background. Why would he be bringing something like this up?
This is all because of last year, what happened with the budget, were dragged into September. Now, typically, the fiscal year ends on June 30th of odd-numbered years, and typically lawmakers want to have that budget done before that so the governor can sign the budget at or around, you know, July 1st, the new fiscal year starts. That didn't happen last time. We had the budget, you know, stalemated in, you know, May, June, July, to August, and finally in September they got it done. And when you're the same party in control of both House legislature and the governor's office, that's not a good look. This is also a symbol of the frayed relationships in the Capitol right now between Scott Fitzgerald, the Senate Majority Leader, and Robin Voss, the Assembly Speaker. Republicans have been in control of the Capitol, other than for a brief period after the 2012 recall elections, for about seven years now. It's been the same personalities. There's always dysfunction in the state Capitol. There's always tension in politics. And it's just gotten to the point where these guys have kind of, like, lost patience with each other. And here's another symbol of what that relationship is like at this point.
This proposal has some technical details, but in broad strokes, what would it do?
It essentially sets a trigger that if things drag on, here's the process the Senate will take up going forward to get the budget at least in its house. Now, the Senate has tools already at its disposal that it could use. We have a thing called the Joint Finance Committee. It's the budget committee. It's comprised of both houses. The Senate could take it up on its own, the budget on its own, if it wanted to. This just basically puts that trigger in the Senate rules and says, okay, June 30th, hey, if it's not done, here's what we're going to do to get that thing rolling going forward. Now, Republicans control the Senate right now. This would be in place for, you know, this session, which ends, you know, at the end of this year. So we'll see if they bring it back next year, if it's a symbolic move. And quite frankly, you know, what happens if Democrats win control in November? I mean, they could do away with the rule, but it's just a trigger to put in place going forward if this happens again.
And this is something that would be a change to Senate rules, so it's not, yep, like the Assembly would have to vote on it.
And that's key. You can't force the Assembly. One House can't force the other House to do something. So even if this is in Senate rules, the Assembly is under no pressure. You know, it would be symbolic pressure. The Assembly would be under no real crunch. All of a sudden, it would have to act because the Senate did this.
The implication seems to be that it was the Assembly's fault, the Assembly Republicans' fault, that the budget didn't get passed on time. I think Assembly Republicans might tell a different story, though, right?
Absolutely. The Senate GOP wants to put the pressure over there. Quite honestly, I've been covering the Capitol for almost 18 years. I've never seen a budget like the one we had last time. I've never seen the leadership from both houses come in the press room of the Capitol to basically rip each other during the budget process, which happened in, you know, late June last year. It was a unique experience, to say the least, and I think they're trying to avoid that happening going forward.
Now, switching topics, JR, the governor got behind a few different efforts this last couple of months, including one we're going to talk about in a while with the state lawmaker, the Lincoln Hills Youth Prison. But a couple of the governor's other big proposals are also up against the clock. His idea for a $100 child tax credit, it passed, I believe, in the Assembly. The Senate's still in action. What's going on?
Essentially, this thing is in peril because they're not agreeing on the same version of the bill. For anything to go to the governor's desk, the exact same bill, exact same language, exact same bill number has to pass both houses. The Assembly took Walker's original $100 per child credit and tweaked it to add a sales tax holiday. They also had some other changes to it, but the big thing was adding a sales tax holiday the first weekend in August that would apply to a lot of, you know, most things you could buy under, I think, $100. That, to them, spread out the benefit of us having a bit of a surplus projected through this budget that ends in midnight 2019. The Senate Republican caucus does not like the idea of a sales tax holiday. In fact, they've rejected it before. So they're taking up on their calendar, at least right now on Tuesday, their version of the governor's proposal that just has $100 per child credit, no sales tax holiday. Well, unless somebody blinks or accepts other houses' position, that means it doesn't happen this session. And one of Governor Walker's key kind of state of the state calls would die. So that's an issue for them to kind of work out, and we'll see if they can pull together, but right now it looks like that thing is just not going to happen.
And meanwhile, Democrats are saying, hey, this sounds like a pre-election bribe.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen it before. I think it was 2000, I want to say. There was a big surplus back then, too, and both parties agreed to send checks back to people back then. It's something similar, you know. Now, the call from Governor Walker has been, we have this surplus. It's time to kind of, you know, give it back to the people. So he's been pushed this as an idea to try and show symbolically to people, at least, you know, $100 per kid, that, hey, you know, we've got good things going here. This is because Republicans are being in control. Therefore, you should be happy with us come November. Not sure it's going to be enough to sway people, but that's part of the idea behind it.
Talking to J.R. Ross from WisPolitics about some of the news of the week in Wisconsin politics. Another agenda item the governor had gotten behind, this $50 million plan to boost rural economic development. Where is that now?
It did not make the Senate calendar for Tuesday, and that's fascinating because Governor Walker called for this in the State of the State address. And number two, this is a priority in part because rural voters are important to Republicans. They've done very well with them, and they want to keep them engaged come November. Well, if you looked at the poll numbers on Foxconn and the amount of money the state has dedicated to that project, it's not very popular outstate. So there was a thought that this proposal was an effort by Governor Walker to send a message to rural voters of, hey, I'm paying attention to your needs, your desires. You guys know you have issues with economic development. We're going to take care of you, too. But in the end, from what I've been told, the Senate Republican caucus was, some members were hesitant because of the cost. Yes, we have right now a projected $385 million net balance come mid-2019, but there have been all these bills passed to kind of chip away at that balance, and that's not a big pot of money compared to how much we spend as a state, you know, on an annual basis. So there's some fear of eating all that money away, that if something goes south in the next, you know, year and a half, it could cause problems. And two, the more you dole out now, the less you have next budget if you want to do something more substantive in terms of tax changes or new spending initiative. And oh, by the way, the Governor Walker is now calling for a school safety package that has a $100 million price tag. So all these things are adding up. The child tax credit, for example, that's $122 million, I think. The sales tax holiday that the Assembly Republicans want to do is under $50 million. So you start seeing, you add up 122, 50, 100, 50. It gets to be expensive real quick.
And as we wrap up, a national story in the news, in part because of a Wisconsin U.S. Senator, the Right to Try bill was voted down by the House on a special fast-track bill where they needed a kind of a supermajority.
Yeah.
And Ron Johnson, Senator Ron Johnson's been a big supporter of this bill. Can you talk about what it would have done?
Well, basically, it gives people, if you are somebody who is ill and you don't have another option, it kind of creates a new one to try some experimental drugs. What they tried to do was for non-controversial bills, usually you can use this fast-track procedure. You need two-thirds vote to get through the House. It fell seven votes short. There were a couple differences between this bill and the Senate one, though, and the Democrats who opposed it raised concerns that this was risky and unnecessary. They also pointed to stats that the FDA already approves, I believe, 99% of the 1,000 requests it receives annually to allow patients to use kind of unproven treatments. It's a program known as compassionate use, as I understand it. So they're saying, hey, you don't need this. You've already got this option there. But Johnson had pushed for this hard. It passed the Senate, I think, unanimously, if not overwhelmingly. So there are a couple options. Come back under normal rules and do this bill, that, work out some differences and try and find a compromise. So that's another option. But this is something that Johnson's been pushing for a while now. And he got a big boost from President Trump, I think, in January, called for people to get behind it as well.
And we'll keep watching that one. JR, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Anytime. Have a great day.
That's J.R. Ross, editor of WisPolitics.com. He was with us to check in on some of the top news of the week from the state capitol and from Wisconsin lawmakers in Washington.